Republican Representative Rob Swearengen of Rhinelander is in his third term representing the 34th Assembly District. He's a Republican. He's also a sponsor of a bill that would lower the drinking age from 21 to 19. So I'm glad he's coming to the studio here to talk about that bill. Rob, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. Always great to be here.
Thank you. Why is it time to lower the drinking age from 21 to 19?
So let's take a trip down memory lane, first of all.
Yeah.
We'll go back to, and I'll go back to when I, people can do the math, but I graduated high school in 1981. Okay, so I was 18 years old. Drinking age at that time was 18.
Oh, okay? I'm well aware of that.
Right, so then I got my first bartending job at the Hodag Bar in Rhinelander when I was 18 years old. Then the drinking age, and I don't want to go back to when we had just beer bars and, you know, whatnot, but so drinking age was 18. Fast forward a year or so, the legislature raised their drinking age to 19.
Yes.
And then the federal government got involved.
Right. In roughly put a gun to our heads, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me.
That's very true. Yeah. So in 1984, it was the Federal Minimum Drinking Age Act, where the federal government basically blackmailed states and said, either you raise your drinking age to 21 or you face a loss of federal highway funds.
Yes.
So that was 31 years ago or more. So we fast forward now up to 2017. And the reason now might be the time for the discussion is with the current administration in Washington, President Trump, there's been a lot of talk about block grants to states. So whether it's in the healthcare area or, in this case, transportation, if he does start block granting transportation money back to the states, then maybe it might be time that the federal blackmail part of the drinking age might go away. And so now is the time to have that discussion. And you know, we talk about federalism, we talk about states' rights. This kind of fits that mold. Let Wisconsin decide if 21 is still working. And a lot of people argue it isn't. There are very strong opinions on this issue, one way or the other.
Now, that was where I was going.
Yeah,
at.
Right.
Is it not working? Is 21 not working?
So I would argue it's not.
Okay.
And I think that, especially today's culture. I mean, if you look at, first of all, just the drunk driving stats, right? We're down 50% in the last 8 years. I think in 2015, I think speeders actually were a bigger death than DUI. So I think that enters into it. Along with just the youth of today, there's a whole different mindset with this generation. Uber, Lyft, Safe Ride Home, whatever the case may be. I think all that enters into play. Nobody's quite driving. I think we've done a good job in educating them not to drink and drive.
Do you think the average 19-year-old now is more mature than 25 years ago, Rob?
Yeah, I think you could argue that. You know, and the reason we went 19, quite frankly, Steve, is just to keep it out of the high school environment. I think the United States really, I think there's only 7 countries that have a 21-year-old drinking age. Countries in the world, right? So in Canada, right across the border, 19 years old, or in Quebec, 18, right? Germany, we were looking that up just yesterday, you can be 16 for beer and 18 for liquor in Germany. But United States is 21. So I think it's time to have this discussion.
When I interviewed Representative Jarko as part of a campaign interview, he also cited the logic that, look, we can ask 19 and 20-year-olds to enlist for our country and put their lives on the line. You haven't used that argument yet. Is that how telling an argument is that?
Right. So I thoroughly agree with that. Of course, then you're talking about 18-year-olds, right? Because you can enlist in 18.
Absolutely.
Many high schools.
You can enter into contracts.
Right.
You're a full adult at 18.
Buy a house, get married.
But I'm not. Yeah. I am not arguing
right,
for your bill.
Right.
I'm just
right.
Surfacing.
Yeah. You can do a lot of things at 18. Like I say, we went 19 because of the keeping out of the high school environment. So. But certainly, and most honorably, you can enter the military, for sure. And so go defend our country, yet come back from war, and you can't go to the local tavern, shoot a game of pool, and have a beer with a buddy.
Let's circle back to the federal. You use the term blackmail. I'm going to use the term threat. That still exists. And the estimate is that if we lowered our drinking age, we could, and that's a conditional word, lose $53 million a year at a time when we can't agree how to pay for our highway future. So how does your bill deal with the potential loss of federal
aid? Right. So keep in mind, this bill goes nowhere because I would never put that kind of money at risk for the state of Wisconsin. $53 million is a lot of money. It's not chump change, right?
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, Department of Transportation's budget is about $6 billion. So $53 million in that scope of things is a little bit different. But, yeah, we would never put that at risk. If we can't get the waiver from the federal government, this just doesn't happen. That's the deal.
Okay.
So that's in the bill. And when Representative Jarko, it's kind of funny how this evolved, because Representative Jarko, this is his bill, he came, he talked about this, well, we talked about it even, I think, maybe a year ago, and then Representative Duco came to me with the same idea, same concept. And so when the two of them got together, they came and saw me, and I said, yeah, I'll sign on as a second or a third, because I think it's time to have the discussion.
Okay. You operate Al Jan Dinner Club. And you have for how long?
25 years.
25 years. Yep. And tonight's special, a full barbecue rack is $23.95.
There you go.
And a half rack is $18.95. Right. How's that for an ad?
Thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated.
I understand. But here's my question. Do you have a conflict of interest? Because your restaurant also has what your website says is a cozy cocktail lounge and a liquor license. You're a former president of the Tavern League of Wisconsin. Do you have a conflict?
No, I don't think so. I think you got to go back to the case that we're all citizen legislators. I have to do something, and I've been involved in hospitality over 30 years, right? So if I started tending bar in 1981, it gets in your blood. Certainly, I'm a proud member of the Tavern League of Wisconsin. I worked my way up to those ranks. I was president for 5 years, but that was 5 years ago. And so is my restaurant going to fill up with 19 and 20-year-olds? Probably not. It's not that type of party atmosphere, although God knows we certainly have a good time there. But I would argue I don't have a personal conflict of interest on this. And if this was such a priority of mine.
Have you been asked about that? Have people?
Oh,
said?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I've been beat up in the paper about it.
You have?
Yeah, they seem to signal, even though it's Representative Jarko, he's the lead author.
He's the lead.
They seem to single me out because of my association with the Tavern League. And that's fair. I get that. But the reality is it's not really going to affect me personally, probably not at all. So we just move on.
It's a very controversial issue because everybody understands it.
Right.
Do you think your bill is going to go anywhere in this session, or did you just put it down as a marker to start the debate for future sessions, assuming your re-election?
That's exactly what it is. I called Speaker Voss somewhat to apologize to him because when Representative Jarko released the bill, I had not had a conversation with Robin on whether to let him know this was coming. And so when it finally hit, and it happened quickly, and the media picked up on it very quickly, I called Robin and I apologized. I said, I didn't get to you soon enough. Representative Jarko, I think, actually did, so he was aware it was coming out. But his immediate response was he wasn't really big in favor of it. And I have not contacted Governor Walker's office on this either. So we've been saying we need to have this discussion. So one of the reasons I agreed to do this interview today is let's have that discussion.
I appreciate
it. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. But if there should be some black grants in transportation, I think we should be ready for that discussion.
What about opposition from law enforcement saying it's going to potentially increase the number of drunk driving?
Yeah. So
OWIs.
Yeah. Good question. So, and as I indicated earlier, I think that at least the younger generation, right, we're talking about 19 and 20-year-olds, are massive users of Uber, Lyft, Safe Ride, those type of things. So I don't agree, or I'm not sold on the concept that there's going to be more drunk drivers. And if you go back over the years, the 30 years, is 21 working? Sure, you might have seen a dip in alcohol fatalities because the drinking age went up. Mm-hmm. But if you go look at the other side of that, now that we've forced these kids into basements, cornfields, gravel pits, what have you, now look at the binge drinking and alcohol fatalities as a result of somebody either having too much, falling over, hitting their head, whatever the case may be. And I think you'll see a spike in those years of deaths off highway.
Do you think, this may be a naive question, do you think if 19 and 20-year-olds could drink legally in any place, including your place, they'd be less inclined to dabble with or get addicted to heroin and opioids, or is that like world's dumbest question?
You know, that's something that I guess I haven't spent a whole lot of time, but I would have to argue that if we get these youth out of the basements, out of the gravel pits, out of the cornfields, let's get them into a tavern, mm-hmm. right? A supervised setting with a licensed premise, a licensed bartender who's gone through bartender's training to recognize if somebody's been overserved or not. And get these kids playing pool, watching their favorite sporting event, whatever the case may be. I'm trying to get them to pay $4 or $5 a drink versus $4 or $5 for all you can drink at a frat party or a street party or just a basement party.
But what do your local law enforcement people say is the emerging trend with opioids, heroin, and methamphetamine. Yeah. Has that made a tragic reappearance in the North Woods?
So the drug issue is not necessarily my wheelhouse, but I will tell you, yeah, it's certainly in the North Woods. You bet. As I talk to county sheriffs and local police chiefs, you bet. With the drinking edge, so I had one of the liaisons from the local high school reached out to me and said, we've had a lot of interesting conversations, and one thing came up was that let's see if you could do something with a kid who has to graduate high school before they get a drinking card or drinking license.
Okay.
Not a bad concept.
Okay. Has this issue come up in your caucus yet?
No.
Well, you have a very interesting caucus on this issue, because some legislators want to take your license away for 10 years after multiple violations. And Senator Larson, a Democrat, just introduced a bill yesterday. Everybody convicted of first offense OWI would have to breathe into a breathalyzer with ignition interlock.
Right.
Now, do you and you well point out that over the years there's been a tendency to crack down on drunken drivers. So when they introduce or discuss bills to further crack down on drunken drivers, do you support those as separate issues from your own restaurant?
So, yeah, there's a couple of different levels. First of all, I would say that there has been over the years this perception that Wisconsin is not tough on drunk drivers. And I disagree. If you get pinched, been overserved for drunk driving, you're going to jail. You're going to at least sober up in jail. Somebody will come and get you. You're going to face the embarrassment of being in the newspaper. Your insurance is going up. You're going to pay some heavy fines. And then if you are a repeat offender, and this is where the ones that I do support, right? If you're a slow learner,
yeah,
you need to have that ignition interlocked, right? Right now it's double the legal limit. So 0.08, so at 0.15,
yep.
You now will get the ignition interlock. I think that's a good thing. It's unfortunate. And so I always support anything that gets tougher on repeat offenders and high BAC level guys. But we shouldn't be out there scaring the pants off of the guy that wants to go out and have a beer with his fish fry. It is perfectly okay to have a beer with your fish fry and get in the car and drive home. What you cannot do is drive drunk. And that's the difference.
And as somebody who, you started in this business when?
1981.
How have, in your native county, Oneida?
Oneida County, yeah. Okay.
Right, how have you seen the culture on drinking change over those decades?
A lot. Of course, I've changed over those decades too, right?
All of us have.
Yeah, right. I mean, what I drank back then, I don't drink anymore either. But yeah, it certainly evolved along with everything else, right? And so, and that's why I go back to the Uber, Lyft, Safe Ride conversation. Now, Uber and Lyft are not available in my area.
They're not available.
No.
They can't.
Yeah.
You can't call up Uber and say, take me to Algen.
Right.
Dinner
closest
club,
one
correct?
Is going to be Appleton or something. It'll be there in a couple hours. So that's not going to work.
Right.
Fortunately, we do have those Safe Ride programs. I think the state, the Tavern League Safe Ride program, 92,000 rides last year. That's huge. And it keeps going up.
And that's 10%. Paid for. Is that my tax dollars? Who's paying for that?
Drunk drivers pay
drunk
for that.
Drivers.
So it's not taxpayer money.
Through the surtaxes?
Correct. Yeah, there was a surcharge put on drunk driving arrests. That money goes into the coffers and it is administered Department of Transportation into the Tavern League. So,
okay.
Yeah, it works good. But yeah, so the culture has. I think that they're getting smarter. I really do. I've got two daughters. My youngest just turned 21 last week. My oldest will turn 24 next week. And neither one of them are going to drive when they've had a few drinks. It just isn't going to happen. They know that already going out, which is comforting.
How has the change in attitudes over drinking affected your business? Have you had to do other things? I notice you now advertise a kid's game room. Maybe you didn't have that. You added that when?
No, that's always been there.
Okay.
But you do see the shift in the average person that comes out for an evening meal, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Time was when you'd come into the supper club and have a couple old fashions or a martini or a Manhattan or what have you. Then you go in and have a nice meal, maybe some wine with dinner, and then you come back out and have an after dinner drink.
Yep.
And maybe whether it's an ice cream drink or another old fashioned or whatever, you don't see that anymore. People are very much aware of their consumption. Or it'll be, if it's a husband and wife, one of them will agree, hey, I'll drive home tonight, so if you want to have that extra one, go ahead.
Has that hurt your business?
Sure, monetarily, sure, absolutely. But you know what? You roll with the times as well, because we get it. Like I say, penalties are tougher. People understand that if you get overserved and you get arrested for drunk driving, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So we get that, and that's why the safe programs like Safe Ride, of course, are very beneficial.
I never have forgotten what somebody in your industry told me like 8 or 10 years ago. He said this, every bar in northern Wisconsin is for sale because the business has changed so much and it's so hard to make a living. Is that true? Can you put that in context for me?
Yeah, and actually, if you take a drive up Highway 39, 51, you don't see chains much further north than Wausau. You get into my area, there are no Red Lobsters or Applebee's because with the year-round business, it's not there. Mm-hmm. They can make hay in the sunshine, in the summertime, right? Or if we have a great snow winter, on weekends is great. But the tourism business in my area is really, you know, that last week of June, you know, up until not even quite till Labor Day.
Well, let's talk about 25, 30 years ago. And the stereotype of northern Wisconsin was, let me get this right, family resorts,
yeah,
and summer cottages and supper clubs, deer hunters in the fall, snowmobilers in the winter.
Right.
How dramatically has that changed over your experience?
All of it. It's every one of those modules that you just mentioned or factors have changed.
Family resorts, fewer? Going out
family
of business?
Family resorts have been sold off into condo units, right? I can think of a big one on Lake George that used to have 40, 50 cabins. They took down all the cabins and put up about $3 or $4 million homes on that parcel of land.
Those summer homes?
No, the year-round homes.
Year-round homes.
And they may not be occupied year-round, just the residents that had bought them. So there was a family resort operated for, I want to say, like 100 years.
Yeah.
And gone.
Yeah.
Just gone. So that affects the tavern next door, too, because every Saturday,
sure it does,
those people would come over from the resort into the tavern next door. They had fresh customers every week in the summertime. So
talk to me about the change in the supper club.
Yeah, so a supper club, and I'll use deer hunting as an example. When we first took over the Al Gen, the opening Friday night before season was a sea of orange, mm-hmm, in the bar, mm-hmm, right? People were smoking cigars, which you can't do anymore. They were drinking beer. They were bringing the youth in for their first hunt, and it would typically guys, right? And they're getting ready to go out to the shack. And I'm not saying they were falling over drunk either, but you don't see that sea of orange anymore. They may come in. They may have a couple beers, maybe fish fry, or if I see them during the week or something. And I can't explain it. It's just, you know, it's not there. You could argue the deer herd. You could already argue DNR. But this is not something that happened overnight. It's just something that's kind of fallen off the years. Fishing season is another one. You come up on that Saturday morning or Friday night before the opener.
Before the opener.
The parking lot would be full of pickup trucks and boats. It's just not like that anymore.
Not so?
No, just not like that anymore. At least not for me.
Okay, what about snowmobiling? More or less popular?
I think snowmobiling still is a big deal, especially, I mean, obviously Eagle River with the home of the World Championship Derby, yeah, the whole mecca between St. Germain and a little bit further north or Woodruff, Minocqua, Rhinelander certainly, although Rhinelander is still, you know, kind of the metro there, but place like Holiday Acres Resort, not too far from my place, mm-hmm, still a big snowmobiling hub, which is always great to see. I'm on the trail, but I'm a spur, so snowmobiling isn't a huge part of my business. But it's still a winter factor, sure. Snowmobiles themselves are getting a little more expensive, you know, over the years. You don't go buy a new snowmobile unless you got a good job to pay for it, you know.
What about millennials? They're gonna be bigger than we baby boomers. Do they have different eating and drinking habits? Do millennials come to Al Gen?
Yeah, sure. Foodies, you know. Where they come in and want to try the local flair if they're not from the area. Obviously they want to try a Friday fish fry or Sunday chicken or prime rib or whatever it is. But yeah, they have.
Do they drink more or less than you and I did when we were in our 20s and 30s?
I would say they drink less and they drink different.
What's that mean?
Younger kids are drinking maybe a glass of wine versus back when I was a kid it was, you know, a beer or whiskey sour or something. But they just drink a different type of cocktail or a craft beer might be very popular or something out of the ordinary.
What does that mean in terms of how you've had to change either your menu or what you stock? You have less Maker's Mark behind the bar now than
no,
you
actually
used
Maker's
to?
Mark is one of the big ones.
I thought
yeah.
So. What
yeah.
do you get for a shot of Maker's Mark?
Oh, I think we're at 450.
Really?
I don't 10 bar enough.
That just
450
makes,
$5 probably.
Make my stomach burn.
Yeah.
But I haven't. But I'm a fan of old fashions.
Yep, there you
in
go.
In moderation.
Whiskey or brandy?
Brandy. But moving on.
Okay.
So you have had to change. What changes in your menu have you had to make? Anything different from when you bought it?
overall, we've maintained, because my place is a log cabin, Northwoods Supper Club.
Do you have any cabins?
No.
You don't?
No. Just okay. It's just the restaurant.
Just the straight restaurant.
And we're not on a lake. We're just outside of town. So my menu maintains the Northwoods tradition of meat and potatoes, right?
Yep.
So barbecue ribs, fish fry, prime rib, chicken.
Rib and chicken tonight.
Yeah, special. What have you. So, but I have to make sure that there's some potentially heart-healthy stuff. Gluten-free is something that's come along over the last few years. So you have to make sure you're conscious. If somebody says, what do you have gluten-free? Vegetarians, you know, that type of thing.
So. Well, liquor sales, more or less for Aljan Dining Club than 5, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
So actually, I was just having a discussion with my liquor sales member, looking up my numbers this year versus last. First of all, I sell a fair amount of beer, but spirits are actually where we do most of our business in terms of drinks. So. But what I found recently is people are drinking more at the table than at the bar.
Than at the bar.
So the waitresses are serving into the dining room more than they used to. And so that has kind of flipped on my profit and loss statement. So the alcohol is still being consumed, but just in a different way.
What about hiring help? Do you have more trouble hiring help than you used to?
So I'm fortunate. I have a good core staff, but the answer is yes. It is very difficult, especially in hospitality, to find a good staff that will stay with you all year long, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're going into a slower season after the calendar turns. Major problem in the Eagle River area, in the Woodruff-Minocqua area, with finding help, especially for these, and not just hospitality, but you can drive up and down the street. It doesn't matter if it's the gas station or anywhere, is looking for help.
You've been in the business since 81. What most worries you about the trends 5, 10, 15 years out?
I think it is the help. That's going to be the toughest one. And the independent mom and pop, my place, it's always in the back of my mind the fear that we're going to start losing more and more of these places. Because as the owners age, and my wife and I are thinking the same way, where are we going from here? My daughters are not really interested. They both kind of go different paths, which is great. So you know, we've been there 25 years. I'm not exactly sure where or when our next step will be, and see what happens. You know,
let's talk about the northern economy. School funding is an issue.
Sure,
you've got kids in your district that are on the bus for how long?
Easily an hour one way.
An hour one way.
Yeah, easily.
So then, the sparsity aid issue is an issue.
Right.
And talking about some of the economic development in your area, I mean, have there been any major ups or downs in 34th District?
Yeah, sure. And actually, I'm happy to say, and I try to keep this quiet because I don't want my colleagues to realize it, and it centers around broadband. Broadband and economic development in my district, especially north of Rylander, Eagle River, St. Germain, that area, the whole Northland Pines School District, is desperately needed, and we're gaining. Each year we've got more and more broadband grants to the PSC, and it has been phenomenal. So with that comes the economic development part, right? So Biola's County Economic Development, even Florence County Economic Development, and Oneida County, all working together to get these companies to go north, because we know that we need good broadband so these people can come up and establish a business. Or at least if they're coming up for vacation, some people do the business on their broadband, right? Years ago, it's kind of funny, you'd come to a resort in the Northwoods to get away.
You do.
To come and get unplugged. You used to advertise that.
Yeah, there were resorts that didn't have TVs in the cabin.
Right.
And that was good.
Yeah.
And then suddenly resorts did have TVs.
Right.
But the broadband situation in the 34th District, is a glass half full or half empty in terms of access?
I would say we're getting half full. Yeah. I mean, we've come a long way. Still a long way to go. But we've come a long way, and especially in the Eagle River area with Violet County Economic Development, they are hugely active up there, and broadband is their number one, and we've been working very closely with them and with the PSC to make
sure. Can you identify companies that have either come to the district or expanded because of broadband, Rob?
Yeah. I just toured Aaron Solutions in Land O'Lakes, right downtown Land O'Lakes. The Violet County Economic Development Corporation facilitated a location on Main Street for a company, and the reason they chose, and this is kind of interesting, they chose it over Tampa, Florida. And because the people that owned it actually were familiar with the Northwoods, but they were looking at Tampa, Florida and Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin, and they settled in Land O'Lakes. And it was because broadband got implemented right there in downtown.
But the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance just identified three keys: broadband, transportation, highways, and higher ed. So you've talked about broadband. Where are you on highways and higher ed opportunities?
So the DOT and the funding for the roads in northern Wisconsin, I think my biggest concern with any budget cycle is to make sure that, and I understand the population is in Milwaukee or Madison and Dane County, Milwaukee County, whatever, but I want to make sure that we always get our fair share, our fair kick at the cat when it comes to those transportation projects. I think we're doing okay. I think the major, you probably drive through it on the way up north in the Hazelhurst area.
Yep.
That whole renovation there is just one good example of the amount of money DOT put in. I know there was just a big discussion in Rylander the other day about a big intersection they're going to do for the DOT. So I think we're doing okay.
What about higher ed and merging the two-year colleges? Is that a factor in the 34th?
So I'm fortunate enough to have Nicolet College in Rylander, which I believe is a true hidden gem in the two-year college system in Wisconsin, and they are actually they have a transfer center too as well, so that is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe the merging is a great conversation and something that desperately needs to be helped. I'm not sure it's going to affect me hugely in the 34th Assembly District because of Nicolet College, and they do wonderful things there. So
you are hundreds of miles away from the proposed Foxconn development.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you vote for it?
So this is a great story. First of all, I don't want to pit the North versus the South when it comes to investments the state makes to attract jobs. But anytime we get jobs in the state of Wisconsin, I think it's a good thing. And at the very least, people are going to work at Foxconn. Hopefully, they make their way up north for a vacation once in a while. But what I thought was really interesting, after the Foxconn deal was announced and I supported it, I got a phone call, an email from the gentleman that runs the Rhinelander Expira Mill.
Mm-hmm.
They do business with Foxconn out of their De Pere operation. And so he was ecstatic to find out that I had endorsed the project and was going to vote for it because it's going to help them. And hopefully though that will trickle up from Foxconn, trickle up into the 34th Assembly District and hopefully all the way up to Florence. So I think it's a good thing. Yeah, sure, I wish I could get something like that big in our neck of the woods, but I think the residuals will go north.
Okay, maybe final question. If you were, your caucus hasn't discussed this bill to lower the drinking age.
Right, okay.
So if your caucus takes up the issue and you're called upon to say why we should lower the drinking age, give your speech.
So I believe that the 21-year-old drinking age isn't working. I think you could almost consider it a failure. I think after 30 years, it's time to reevaluate how the federal government has got a stranglehold on the state of Wisconsin. We talk about federalism. We talk about states' rights. Let's reexamine this. If President Trump should start releasing these block grant monies, let's get these kids out of the basements. Let's get them out of the gravel pits, out of the cornfields. Let's get them into a supervised setting in a tavern that's licensed with a licensed bartender who's trained properly. And I think that they'll be better members of society and not be binge drinkers because they're hiding.
But the caveat is only if we do not lose $53 right. million dollars in federal
yeah,
highway.
I will not put $53 million at risk. This bill says that the DOT must reach out to the feds and find out if we can get that waiver where we would stand. So,
Republican Representative Rob Swearingen, thanks for coming in, talking about your bill to lower the drinking age from 21 to 19. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks.